Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. It's Thursday, October 12th, just a little bit after 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Going to preview Michigan versus Indiana, answer some of your guys' questions. I'll hit on some major talking points that I wrote about for tomorrow's preview, and that'll be on FanRag Sports. FanRagSports.com at FanRag_U. Talk a little bit about Michigan State basketball. Media Day was yesterday. I don't know if any of you guys follow Michigan State basketball or Michigan basketball. I cover both of those teams as well. Tom Izzo addressed the media yesterday. We talked with players. My Aunt Julie was actually my photographer for the day, so thanks Aunt Julie for that. And it was a, you know, pretty good time as far as you really get to know a little bit about a team on a media day. You get to see their personalities, that sort of thing. Tom Izzo a little bit, you know, goes into detail, really like talking about his team. So, but I know most of you guys are here for Michigan football, so I'm going to open up the chat room as soon as it does and tweet the link. And for those of you watching the live stream, thanks. Please like, subscribe, share my channel. And for those of you who prefer the audio-only version, you can get that on iTunes, Google Play, and FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. I'm in the live chat now. Chris Hawk says, Biggers, hey Chris, how you doing? Big Bubble Blue, what's up, man? Dale Terry, good timing. I was not doing anything at work. About to lose it. Hashtag Go Blue. All right, Dale, I'm glad it was great timing for you. Jeremy Turner, what's up? Adam, hey Jeremy. Cameron Clark, hey Adam. Hey guys, so I know all of you guys in here, Chris, Big Bubble Blue, Dale, Chris, again, sorry, Jeremy and Cameron, I know you guys want to know about Michigan football, so we could go into the preview breakdown. There's a few players I think that are worth watching at Indiana. I think that this is kind of going from one extreme with a pro-style offense and a monsoon torrential downpour to Indiana and a faster-paced offense. Indiana's number 10 in the nation in terms of pace of play. Plays per game, so, and that's by far the fastest. Ohio State's the next fastest in the Big Ten, and Ohio State's number 23. Michigan State, for comparison, was number 46 in the country, so you're going from 46 to 10, and, you know, maybe that's only a difference of a couple series, but at the end of the day, that's still, 14 potential points, I guess, if you look at it from that, two offensive possessions. There's a lot that can happen in that amount of time, so, Leoism says, hey Adam, nervous about this Indiana game. And I think that there is cause to be nervous, guys. And I think one of these, some of the major talking points going into this game that I wrote about for tomorrow on FanRagSports.com, I want to see how John O'Korn rebounds. I mean, if as the quarterback right now, he has to be the leader of the team. He's definitely the leader of the offense. I'm really wondering how John O'Korn rebounds, because that John O'Korn panicked, didn't get any protection, four sacks. Patrick Kugler said all of those interceptions weren't on him. Jim Harbaugh mentioned that a receiver, at least one of those interceptions was due to poor route running by a receiver. He didn't say the receiver, but John expected the receiver to come back, he said, and the receiver didn't. So Big Bubble Blue says, I think Michigan will be fine Saturday. Defense will win the game. And Big Bubble Blue, I'm looking at it like this. Penn State's got a decent defense. Indiana, what was that, 45-14? Michigan, I think scoring defense-wise, actually Penn State's defense is a few points better than Michigan's, like 9.6 or something to 13. But either way, total defense, Michigan has a number one ranked total defense. And I'll go with my predictions. I usually save them for Wednesday or Thursday. It's Thursday. I'm going 24-10 Michigan. And Big Bubble Blue, along the same lines of what you just said, I think that Don Brown's so far, Don, what is 100% beyond a doubt proven about Michigan football? And anyone out there, feel free. This is an easy question. What is proven about Michigan football so far? What can you bank on? Chris Hawk says, O'Korn can't do anything when he isn't protected. That's a great point. Adam Bedane. How do I say that, Adam? Cautiously optimistic about this game, hoping the play calling was the main issue, coupled with the weather that we could get it straightened out a bit this week. That's the idea, Adam. And I think, you know, the play calling was limited due to the weather. And Jim Harbaugh said this: if a play works, then it was a great call, right? If a play doesn't work, then it was a bad call. He told us on Monday the media has every right to question the play calling, but he did suggest, you know, that's a rather easy thing to do. But I think it is a fair thing to do. Big Bubble Blue, in response to my question, what is one thing you can bank on? Yes, it's the defense. Absolutely. So, I mean, 24-10, I know Indiana runs plays. I mean, Peyton Ramsey, just there, he likes to run. I mean, Brian Lewerke has wheels. Brian Lewerke took advantage. I'm not saying that if the weather wasn't better, Michigan wouldn't have had a chance at a comeback. But I'm also not saying if the weather wasn't better, Michigan State may have not put up some more points in the second half. This is a two-way street. I hear a lot of Michigan fans who go, well, if the weather was better, and I think even Braylon Edwards said, well, if the weather was better, okay, well, then you have to give Michigan State that same credit if the weather was better. But when the playing field, when all things were equal in terms of just, you know, not bad weather, Michigan did have a little bit of an issue with Brian Lewerke. I don't know if Indiana's offensive line, Michigan State's offensive line wasn't that bad against Michigan. I thought that it performed well. I'm wondering if Indiana's offensive line is of the same caliber. I haven't got a chance to watch full game of Indiana, just some highlights. So you have a quarterback that likes to run, Peyton Ramsey. I'll get into that right now. He's actually Indiana's second leading rusher. 214 total yards on the season. 3.5 per carry, 2 touchdowns. And of course, and while we're on rushing, Morgan Ellison, a freshman, right? He had a really good game against Georgia Southern, had 186 yards. So, I mean, and it is Georgia Southern, but that just shows you that, you know, the kid's got the breakout speed. And I'll get into defense, and I want to talk about Simi in a little bit, too. But back to your guys' questions. Will Goddard says O'Korn throws 3 picks. I don't know if he does that again. I don't know if he does that again. I think that's a once in a... I mean, look at just quarterback statistics in general, and a 3-interception game was probably a once-a-career thing. I mean, I think that it was just literally the perfect storm for John O'Korn to have to force it through the air. And again, you know, people question, the media, fans, you guys out there question, why were they throwing the ball? And it reminded me, a different scenario, but I mean, it reminded me of Michigan State in 2006 against Notre Dame, when that game seemed to be in hand, and Michigan State goes to the air rather than keeping it on the ground with J.U. Culkrick, which still blows my mind to this day, 11 years later. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. This past Saturday, a lot of people were scratching their head saying, why throw the ball in the second half? Back to you guys' questions. I'm not going to read that one, Will. Constructive criticism. Come on. You could think of better words than that one. Leoism says, bank on inconsistency on the O-line. Crazy to say, given our history. Well, is Leo not really that crazy, right? Michigan's O-line. I mean, when I first started covering Michigan in 2012, that was one of the main issues, the offensive line. 2013, an issue. 2014, is there an improvement a little bit? I don't know, maybe. 15, certainly. The rushing statistics were there to support it, and the sack totals. 16, yes. 17, no. Right side, that's the problem. Everybody knows it. I mean, Ben Bredesen had a rough game against Michigan State. I mean, you know, I think Patrick Kugler had a little bit of a rough time. Basically, everybody on the offensive line against Michigan State, other than Mason Cole, had their moments. Mason Cole has been the one really steady force. And if you look at, especially, I mean, right tackle, and again, you know, you guys know that I'm not aiming out to single out a player and attacking, and I never get personal, but the tape speaks for itself. Jawan Bushel-Beatty, when he replaced Nolan Aluzio, and Nolan was struggling mightily. Jawan comes in, first play, and I believe it was Kenny Willekes right off the edge and just beats him, 7-yard sack. So, I mean, that can't happen. And I know, I mean, John Runyon, people have talked about Cesar Ruiz. I asked Ben Bredesen if there might be changes on the offensive line this week. he didn't really confirm or deny, but he says, you know, as far as extra linemen coming in, he says, you know, Caesar and whoever next man up, that kind of thing, is going to have to play higher. But, you know, they have confidence in Juwan and Nolan. But, I mean, I have to wonder, are we going to see John Runyon there? I don't imagine Caesar Ruiz, and I don't see a switch. I don't see Ben Bredesen going over to the right side and Caesar Ruiz at left guard. I know people have suggested that Caesar takes Ben's spot on the left side, left guard. Ben goes over to right guard, and then, you know, whoever, or right tackle, rather, and then Mike Onwenu at right guard. I don't see that happening. If there's going to be a switch, I do think right now that it's just going to be solely at right tackle. All right, guys, sorry I was rambling there. Let me get to your questions. Wes Weber Jr., perfect storm. That was a pun. I see you, Adam. And Wes out there, guys. Wes, pretty soon, a little while ago, I announced that there was going to be a little addition to the podcast, and I was excited about it. And Wes and I, we had planned, I tried to meet up with him. Things didn't work out anyway, so he's like, well, give me your address. I'm going to mail this to you. So I'm going to have actually a microphone. I hope that helps. I know it's kind of in this room right here, it echoes, and I don't, you know, not having a microphone. So we'll have to thank Wes for the improved audio quality here pretty soon. So thanks a lot, Wes. Appreciate it. Adam, and pronounce this for me. Adam Bedion. Ambry getting more chances on kickoffs. Perhaps a spark from return teams helps kick the offense in the butt. And that, why wouldn't it? You know, as an offense, if you follow a guy, Ambry Thomas is slippery. Ambry Thomas has some skills. I'm not surprised to see him back there. They talked about Ambry, you know, in camp. I think you guys have mentioned him too, the people who have been watching along. No surprise there with Ambry back there, rather. And, of course, I mean, a big kick return, the offense is going to get hyped up. I mean, look, we're starting from the 40-yard line. You know, that's not bad. You're working with a pretty short field there, 60 yards. All right, let's go get it, you know. And that's the mentality, you know. So, I think. Leoism says, at Dale Terry, it won't help if we don't start freshman O-line so we can start a better altogether. I don't know what that. Guys, I know the idea of starting freshmen and, you know, the guys who are next. Look, they're 4-1 right now through week 6, you know, including the bye week. They're still winning. So they're winning with the players that they being Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff, have deemed the best on the field. They're still winning with those guys. I don't see the point of rocking the boat. And again, I'm not even going to entertain the Brandon Peters argument. I'm not going to. I mean, Caesar Ruiz, only because they had already been talking about Caesar. I'm not even looking at it, okay, next man, freshman, you know, everybody wants to see the next guy. Caesar Ruiz was actually a legitimate, contender, for lack of a better word. He was right in there in that two deep in the offensive line during camp. So including Caesar is justified. But, I mean, you know, anywhere else, just start freshmen everywhere. They're 4-1. They're number 17 in the country. The chance right now, Indiana's a must-win. If they don't win at Indiana, then there's no chance of the Big Ten championship, if you ask me. Because then you still have Wisconsin, still have Penn State the next week, and that's already a no-go in my mind. And then you have Ohio State on top of that. So, Chris Hawk says they need to run more. Bottom line, Cameron Clark and Onwenu has been good. Yeah, I think Mike, there's nothing to me, and again, guys, Cameron, you probably remember this. When you're a tackle, at least in my eyes, it's easier to see what you're doing wrong rather than if you're an interior lineman. Like Mike Onwenu at guard, unless there's separation, you know, whatever, and you can obviously tell. But, I mean, for the most part, I mean, if there's a sack off the edge, I mean, you're the guy at right tackle or left tackle or whatever, so that's, you know, inherently that's your fault, right? I mean, you're the guy closest to him, that's your man. So looking at it like that, I can't tell. I'd have to break down film. I can't tell you exactly. I mean, but the right side in general, and it's not just pass protection when I say that with Cameron, it's because the right side, Michigan won't even run the ball the right side. I mean, watch the big runs this season, the successful ones. They're off tackles, they're sweeps to the left, following left tackle, counters, it's all left side. there's rarely anything running to the right side unless field position dictates that. But throwing my hands around today, talking with my hands. Adam, you still haven't told me how to pronounce your last name yet. So, Adam B., isn't the knock on Big Mike that he's too slow laterally to make up for mistakes? I hear people say that. I don't see that. I don't think I'm weighing you slow. I think he is big. And I mean, he's not going to be as quick on his feet as like John Runyon. John Runyon's the quickest lineman. And again, guys, I mentioned it. He won like 8 of 9 of the lineman drills, the shuttle drills, agility. The only other lineman to win a drill during spring was Cesar Ruiz. So, I mean, John, and that's why I mentioned John Runyon. John Runyon's athletic. The tail of the tape's already there. So, in terms of the measurements and vertical and, you know, all that stuff, shuttles. When he gets his hands on someone, he mauls them, though, says Adam. Yeah, I mean, if you have the misfortune of having to, you know, collide with Mike Onwenu, you're going to lose that battle 11 out of 10 times. Chris Hawk says, if Michigan does lose, I'm afraid that it will start a skid. Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, brutal stretch. Chris, you're right. I feel the same way, too. Wes Weber Jr. says, I truly believe this MSU game will be a catalyst for a fairly dominant run in the next 5 years. Agree. Ooh, I don't know. That's a stretch out there, Wes. They got to go. You got to right now with Michigan and Michigan State, if you're Michigan, you got to go literally one. Michigan State emphasizes this game way more. Tom Izzo even talked about it. I mean, this is how much this game means at Michigan State. I mean, Tom Izzo is a football fan. Tom Izzo's been there. This is his 23rd year as head coach. He's been an assistant since like 85, and then he was there in 83 before he went to Tulsa for a year or a summer anyway. So he loves Michigan State football already. But when your basketball coach is talking about, hey, that was a great win over Michigan, he's proud of it, it was a good week, you know, that's how much Michigan State means. And I'm not saying that I know Michigan. And people were complaining, I guess I've seen on Twitter, as Michigan fans were complaining that players are saying, well, this is just another game. You know, that was just another game. We got to move on. Well, honestly, I don't understand what you guys really want them to say. They're not, I mean, Josh Metellus, and I just wrote a feature on Josh. Check that out on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. Had a lot of fun writing that. Thanks to Chad Shepard at Michigan for helping me out, getting a second interview. But Josh is an emotional guy, and his teammates appreciate that. Klee Cutson, Rashawn Gary, Coach Jim Harbaugh. And that loss hurt Josh. It struck a chord with him. And you could tell by his reaction on the field. I could tell when I was talking to him about it after the game. I could tell in his responses to some of my questions that I was able to email to Michigan. So Josh is somebody who feels these kind of games. And I'm not saying that everybody else doesn't at Michigan, but I'm saying everybody at Michigan State does feel that way. They have the same type of emotional attachment to this game as Josh Metellus had on Saturday. So I think that is one of the big differences. And 8 out of the past 11. So year-by-year basis. Long, long answer to your question, Wes, but thank you for asking. Adam says, Bedian. Don't worry, everyone mispronounces it, bro. Not on this show, Adam. Ask around. I don't stop until I get the correct pronunciation. So it's Adam Bedian. I got it. Leoism says, let Ambry play two ways. Dude was a beast, a king at wide receiver. And I mean, I know last year, you know, talked about, I remember it was entertained. I don't know if it was even a serious thing with Jim Harbaugh. He didn't rule it out. Jabril Peppers kind of advocated for it a little bit. I don't know how serious it was, but with Jordan Lewis last year, if you guys remember, there was that slight little peep, Jordan playing two ways. Jordan said that he wanted to. I remember. I talked to him about it. So I don't know if that's possible with Ambry, but I mean, maybe. I just don't know if I see a two-way offensive, defensive player with Jim Harbaugh. I don't know. Cameron Clark says Big Mike has done a nice job for a first-year starter. I agree with that, Cameron. Mike Zabrowski says Devin Bush, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Devin's on his. I mean, guys, we've talked about this. Devin, name five linebackers in the country better than Devin Bush. And I mean, I think we have two of the best right now in the Big Ten. Three, really. If you Joe Bocci at Michigan State's pretty good, but Tigre Scales at Indiana and Devin Bush. Devin Bush is going to be, I think, and I even hate to say this because I hate, you know, stretching out on a limb. Devin Bush is on track to be one of the great linebackers at Michigan. I'll say it. I don't think there's any doubting that. The way that he plays, the way that he hits, and I know the other day some people on Twitter, I saw the replay, the Lewerke hit. I said, okay, yeah, there's definite helmet-to-helmet contact. I wasn't saying that Devin was targeting or launching or that he's a dirty player. That's just the nature of tackling there. I was more commenting on it because if you saw when Brian Lewerke rolled over, his lights were out. I mean, he got knocked. So there were some people who were trying to say that that's targeting. And I know that Lewerke became a running back on that play. And Devin didn't leave with the crown of his helmet. It was with his shoulder. But, Devin Bush is one of those kind of players who is A. He hurts people when he tackles them. I mean, they feel his hits. Devin Bush makes you want to feel him, and he does that. And when you're that and with accompanied with his speed, he's got great instinct on the ball. I remember there was a play against Michigan State. It was first half. It was on Michigan's side of the field, and Brian Lewerke dropped back. I think it was play action. Devin Bush recognized right because I was. Just happened to be watching Devin on this play, and because every now and then on a play, or I'll single in on a guy for about, you know, 3-4 plays in a row, still watching everything else, but, you know, really focusing on one guy. Anyway, Devin immediately recognized play action, didn't even bite. There was a pass over the middle, and he jumped up. He didn't get it on top of it, but he got up and he got in Lewerke's vision. So the pass was incomplete. Devin Bush was there. I mean, that's the kind of player he is. And I know that, you know, probably a lot of linebackers can read plays like that and whatever. But when I watch Devin Bush play, I see really quick, I see instinctive to the ball and somebody that's going to hurt you. So, Karen Clark says, at least we will beat Rutgers. Yes, Michigan will beat Rutgers. Big Bubble Blue says, after one win, you think MSU is the best. No, I don't. BB says, I don't care what anyone says, but Kanye West is the greatest artist of all time. He's up there with Picasso, Ralph Lauren, Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, Jesus Christ, etc. Usually I don't read comments like that, but is this you, Kanye? Is this Kanye West under an alias? I will heartily disagree. I did like Kanye West, College Dropout, and a little bit after, and then I don't know what happened to him. But I stopped liking him. I think it was probably the Kardashian thing. Anyway, Mike Zabrowski says, we lost at night to Michigan State and we're favored and we will go into Penn State as an underdog at night with everyone expecting Penn State to walk away with that game. We will upset them. Mike, I don't expect Penn State to walk away with that game, but, I mean, I do expect Penn State to win. I know you want to be optimistic about Michigan's chances, but a night game at Penn State, look at what Penn State's done right now. And then, I mean, Indiana did do a decent job, if you wanted, you know, the transitive theory, if you want to compare. Indiana did a decent job against Saquon Barkley. I think he had like 58 or 60 yards. And but Trace McSorley threw for like 300 and some. So, I mean, I'm not saying that Michigan's going to be able to bottle up Saquon Barkley. I'm not saying that they're not. No one's really ran all over Michigan. I mean, we've only seen, I think, a couple of big runs. I mean, Madre London had one of them this past Saturday. I mean, you haven't really seen anything that suggests that Michigan, that any running back is going to have a big game against Michigan. I mean, I know that Madre London and Gerald Holmes, they had good games against Michigan. And statistically, you know, I mean, their stats weren't up there. But I'm talking about someone who's going to, I'm talking about Saquon Barkley doing to Michigan what he does to just about everybody else. I don't see that happening, but at the same time, I don't think that it's a wise thing to go, okay, well, Indiana did limit them. Michigan's defensive line is way better than Indiana, so therefore, I don't think that's fair to say either. Why? I mean, watch out. Saquon, I think Saquon plays up to competition too a little bit. Not saying he doesn't play hard all the time, but just watch Saturday. Saquon will be a factor, or 2 Saturdays from now. Kyle Boober says, I'm not sure we, hold on here. Not sure we have any other options at right tackle right now. Okay, we talked, yeah, I mean, John Runyon Jr., I think, is the only left. Either Nolan and or Juwan gets it together, or they got or they go with John Runyon Jr. Leoism says that Chris Hock, just look at the recruits the last 2 years. You have to remember the guys playing now are the last of the Hoke recruits in the first month, 2 months of Harbaugh's recruiting efforts. It's for, ooh, that was a mouthful, Leoism. I'll dedicate a whole show to that topic. Don't get me started on that. Big Bubble Blue says that wasn't towards you, Adam. Which one? Jeremy Turner says, agree, Adam. I've been talking for so long between reading comments, guys. I don't know what you're replying to. I'm sorry. Kyle Boer, or Boer, sorry. Well, I don't think it's too late for improvement with this offense. We have been waiting for it since week one. Second half at Purdue seems like the only thing we can hang our hat on. And Kyle, I'm kind of with you on that because, I mean, that's what I was looking at when I was asked about how I thought John O'Korn would play against Michigan State. And I thought that that second half was a spark. I thought that that showed, okay, now there's something clicking a little bit. But again, weather was a factor. You're not going to see a really smooth offense in that. You didn't see a smooth offense from either side in the second half. But yet, you didn't see a smooth offense from Michigan, during the first half either, when the weather, when it was better. So Michigan's offense, yes, still a major question. I'm still not ready, to put all the blame on John O'Korn for the Michigan State loss. I still think that he is the best option. The Michigan has that quarterback right now, and that's the one they're going to go with. And this is a big game for John. I mean, he is 1-0 against Indiana, if you want to look at it like that. He's 1-0 in the state of Indiana, one at Purdue, if you're a fan of superstition or want to hold on to something there. But yes, I agree with you, Kyle. That second half against Purdue, that can't be the only thing when, especially now in week six, when we say, okay, Michigan's shown something in our offense, and someone goes, well, what? And, we're still saying second half in Purdue, and, we're talking week 9 and 10. I mean, that doesn't cut it. So I agree. Big Bubba Lou says, I think Penn State will be close, but it'll be tough. Leo has some thoughts on the Higdon. On Higdon being the true number one back now for Michigan, Isaac's fumble and Chris Evans struggling. I don't. And I went past that one. Hold on. I don't see Higdon riding the bench much more going forward. It's the hot hand. I mean, Karam was the guy Saturday, right? But I mean, Chris has done the same. Everybody was saying Ty Isaac should be the number one running back after the first couple weeks. Guys, it's by committee. I don't know if there is a true number one. The last time that Jim Harbaugh designated any type of pecking order was at Big Ten Media Days, and it was Chris, Karan, Ty, Kareem, in that order. So that's the last time that Jim Harbaugh's ever, given us an order. As of right now, I mean, it's going to be week to week. That's all I could tell you. Chris Evans is going to be the number one guy. One day, Ty's going to be at one, the other day. Karan's going to be at the other day. Jim Harbaugh's, said the hot hand thing, and that's what they're going to do. Leoism says, Adam, when yes, he and Oliver Martin will probably play this week after the struggles of McDoom and Crawford. McDoom and Crawford have struggled all year. Crawford all year. McDoom, that drop against Michigan State was critical. Adam Bedian says, could be wrong, but I feel as if we haven't seen much play action as of late. You are not wrong. Dale Terry says, I hope to see Nico and Walker. Adam Bedian says, big part of the offense, clearly. Okay, guys, some of these are reading your guys' replies. I don't even necessarily know what you're talking about right now, so. Any more questions or comments, guys? We're going on 30 minutes. Anybody care to know anything about Michigan State Basketball Media Day? I put it in the show title, so I guess I do have to talk about it. Basically, Michigan State's pretty loaded. And there's so many layers to the Spartans this year. And here, are you guys getting out of here? Michigan football questions. I'll answer a few more, but I am going to talk about Michigan State basketball media day. Adam Wolney says, "What's your thoughts on the play calling up to this point? I think it's fair to question it." Go Wolverines. Would you say Pep is one of the bright spots? I mean, the passing game isn't one of the bright spots. I don't know if that's necessarily on Pep. Guys, at the end of the day, all the offensive play calling does, the final say is belongs to Jim Harbaugh. He has said that. Cameron Clark, you could talk about Michigan basketball. I'll talk about the Wolverines, Cameron, too. I cover them as well. When Michigan will have a basketball media day coming up here shortly, I'm sure. John Beilein, actually one of my favorite coaches to interview. Real quick with Michigan basketball, I mean, Mo Wagner, the return of Mo Wagner, major. I mean, losing Derek Walton, I really enjoyed watching Derek Walton play. I liked especially the end of last year. I mean, Derek, you couldn't name, and this isn't another one, this is not a stretch. I mean, name someone who played better from Big Ten tournament to postseason through NCAA tournament than Derek Walton Jr. There may be a couple guys. Derek Walton was certainly one of the best players during the 2017 NCAA postseason, conference tournament, and NCAA tournament. No doubting that. So, Chris Hawk says, "I'm down for some b-ball." All right, I'm going into Michigan State basketball real quick, and then give me a few minutes on this, and then I'll let you guys, if you have any more Michigan football questions, to chime in. If not, if you want to go right now, no hard feelings. I know that 99.9% of you guys in here are here for Michigan football, and then it'll be Michigan basketball. So anyway, Michigan State's loaded. Miles Bridges coming back. He announced that back in April, and there are a lot of reasons. Other than he enjoyed college, he does like the student athlete experience. Not just the college atmosphere, social life, that kind of thing. But Tum Tum Nairn, Newrall's Nairn, who's now a senior, was a big influence on Miles. Miles said he wants to send Tum Tum out on, out on a high note. That's a thing for Michigan State seniors. Go out on a high note. Seniors are held in high regard by Tom Izzo. So I think just if you look at a selfless player, that Miles Bridges really is one of those guys. He could have gone, into the draft last year. He probably would have been a lottery pick. He'll be a lottery pick this year. And this team will revolve around him. And he doesn't talk about that though. I mean, if you really want to look at like a modest superstar, Miles Bridges is one of those guys. So he's obviously the guy at Michigan State. Their front court though, Michigan State did not have a front court last year to speak of because everybody was injured. Gavin Schilling was injured. Ben Carter was injured. Ben was a grad transfer from UNLV. Gavin Schilling, either injury or inconsistency, we have yet to see the best of Gavin at Michigan State, and this is his, ninth year there. But now Michigan State does have a front court. You have sophomore Nick Ward will be an all Big Ten guy. I'm confident in that. Nick Ward, just a monster on the boards, and we've seen what he can do when he gets rolling scoring. Jaren Jackson, potential one and done guy. He's kind of he could shoot a little bit, kind of the stretch in the midst there. You have Kenny Goins, who played center last year, and Kenny Goins, no more leg brace. I joked with him about no more Robo Kenny. All those interviews, guys, are on my YouTube channel. Check them out with Tom Izzo, Kenny Goins, Cassius Winston, sophomore point guard. Forgetting who else to talk. Miles Bridges, Nick Ward, and Tum Tum Lurals Nairn is tongue twister right there. Tum Tum Lurals Nairn. And Tom's actually one of my favorite guys to interview out of Michigan State football, Michigan State basketball, any of those MSU Michigan sports. Just a real humble guy. And here's a guy who basically has cleared the way for Cassius Winston. Last year, Cassius was a freshman. Tom, probably waiting his turn to be the starting point guard. And, here comes Cassius. And not only has he stepped aside a little bit, but he's also helping him learn. They're going to share duties, but Cassius, I think, is going to be the main option at point guard. So, and Tom's acted like a senior basically his entire career. So that video interview's on there too. So I'll have some Michigan State basketball features coming up. And again, for you Michigan basketball fans, with Michigan State, when they announce when media day is, I'll have Michigan basketball. I do cover both teams. So, any final questions? Oh, Big Bubble Blue says, throwback to Denzel's guaranteed championship. LMAO, good times. Cameron Clark, you think Michigan State wins the Big Ten championship? I think it's Michigan State and everybody else. I think I like Maryland, but Michigan State. Big Bubble Blue says, I'll stay. Peters play this week. Iron Cross, there you go. No. MSU basketball winning the big this year, says Jeremy Turner. Yeah, I think so. This has to be, I mean, I know in the past 2 years, these have been, you know, preseason favorite teams. Tom Izzo, people talk about Final Four. I mean, especially that 2015 team that, or 2016 team rather, 15-16 that lost in the first round at Middle Tennessee State. This, though, is you have Miles Bridges back for a second year. You have a front court. You have Cassius Winston. Josh Langford, they're hoping, develops into a pretty good scorer. Matt McQuaid, three-point specialist. I mean, you have a little bit of weaponry going on if you're Tom Izzo. And the front court should be the strength. A lot of Izzo teams, 99% of them are guard-driven teams. And I believe that'll be that a little bit with Cassius Winston. But Miles Bridges is going to be like the Denzel in terms of just the everything, man. So, I mean, I can see, you know, Miles being point man a little bit. The offense is going to flow. Everything's going to flow through Miles. And with him, now that he has reinforcements in the front court, he's not going to have to guard fours and fives anymore. So he's going to be, his exact words were, they're going to be able to play more free. So Michigan State's going to be really good. I don't doubt that. Parth Patel says, if they don't make the Final Four, this will be an epic failure with the amount of talent on this squad. Yeah, I would. I mean, this is a preseason number 1, 2, 3 team, absolutely loaded, you know. And I mean, we said this last year. I mean, I said this last year about that freshman class, Bridges, Ward, Cassius Winston. I mean, right there, those three guys, just undeniable. Injury struck. We did not see the best of Michigan State last year. This year, we're going to see everybody back who was injured last year. Ben Carter, Gavin Schilling. And then on top, I mean, Matt McQuaid was going through a sports hernia thing last year during the preseason. You know, it's like almost everyone had some kind of bump or bruise. This year, they're completely healthy. So, we're going to see everybody back from last year and then some. Jaren Jackson, Xavier Tillman as well. Xavier Tillman, Tom Izzo said, has just basically outdone his recruiting ranking. And we've had Xavier on the podcast, audio-only version, back. I think it was back in the springtime. It was around the time he committed to Michigan State. So, and this is a guy, young kid, a dad, you know, Division I basketball player, you know, student, family man. So, Michigan, you know, guys have said, you know, he's very mature. There's two sides to him on the court, you know, just kind of like a monster. And Tom Izzo said Xavier, a lot more athletic than he thought, really great hands, and, you know, everybody else talked highly of Xavier. So if you look at Michigan State right there, that front court, I mean, that's going to stack up. That's like Purdue times two almost, and kind of athletic too. I mean, Michigan State doesn't have like a huge bruiser like Isaac Haas, but I mean, Nick Ward's no pushover, and you'll have some athleticism there with Jaren Jackson, and Xavier Tillman is a pretty strong as well. Kenny Goins is strong too for his size. He's not the center size, but Michigan State's gonna have a nice front court. Parth Patel says, imagine what this team would have been with Josh Jackson and Caleb Swanigan if they came. And I mean, it looked like Caleb was going to. I mean, Caleb committed. Josh Jackson on the way. I'm not so sure that Josh Jackson and Miles Bridges though on together. I mean, I know Miles committed at Mott College, right? You know, a few blocks from my house. I was there. I talked to Miles and his mom, Cynthia, and he was wearing a shirt that had the class, everybody's name on it, and Josh's name on the back of it, Dur Jackson, everybody's last name. So they wanted Josh, but I mean, Josh is a fantastic player. I mean, you everybody saw what he did, and especially when you saw, you know, Kansas in the national tournament. Josh looked pretty good. He had some good games. But end of the day, I'm not so sure that there would have been enough ball to go around for Josh Jackson and Miles Bridges. So, yeah, together, definitely, that, I mean, certainly. And I'm not saying that, it was a good thing that he didn't go to Michigan State, but I am saying in hindsight, maybe there wasn't enough ball. So, Cameron Clark says, I trust Beilein gets us far this year. Yeah, guys, and I mean, John Beilein, I remember last year, slow start in the Big Ten, people were like, fire John Beilein. And I just sat back and laughed. I couldn't believe it. And it was real. It wasn't, joking. People were legitimately wanting a change at head coach. John Beilein can't coach, he can't recruit, he can't do this, he can't do that. And he just showed that he can. So I expect Michigan to be good too. I saw a preview on Indy Star, Michigan tabbed 6. I think that's 4. I look 4 or 5. I think that's fair. And again, in the preseason, it's difficult to tell. I mean, with Michigan, the easy thing to say with the Wolverines is, well, look, lost DJ Wilson, first round draft pick, lost Derek Walton, lost Zach Ervin. Okay. I mean, I understand that Derek Walton's is the biggest loss out of all those guys, I think. But at the same time, I mean, Mo Wagner is one step away. Mo Wagner is already right there at that stardom level. And I think this year, I mean, national media fell in love with Mo late in the season. Now he has that hype, and I'm not trying to say hype like it's not real. I mean, he has expectations now because he's shown what he can do. So, I mean, I think Mo Wagner, definitely one of the best bigs in the Big Ten, one of the better bigs in the country. I don't think there's any debating that. So, if you're a Michigan Wolverines fan, there's reason to be optimistic. Alex Zamborski, can we get a 30-second breakdown of MSU football at Minnesota Saturday? Alex, I'll actually do that. I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow. I always do one Friday around lunchtime, and I'll do the Michigan State preview. Then I'll give you 10 seconds or a couple, because I do got to get it going because it is now, we're going on 42, 43 minutes. I think this is going to be a big game for Michigan State if it thinks that it's going to contend. And I don't say, if it thinks like it's not realistic, but if Michigan State really wants this season to be more than a win at Michigan, then Saturday is when it has to prove it. And yeah, it was a big win. And Brian Lewerke called it the biggest of his career, most important, high school, college, and of course it was. And Joe Bocci played incredibly. Kenny Willekes, Gerald Owens, was really good. Justin Lane was really good. So right now, if you're Michigan State, you can't. The season's not over. You can't, it's not a win. It's not a success now. Okay, follow 3-9 season and beat Michigan. Yay. It's not done. And prove it Saturday at Minnesota. That's the way I look at it, Alex. But I'll get into some stats like I did today with Michigan and Indiana. And we'll do that. And actually, I didn't get into the total stats with you guys yet. So I'm going to leave you guys with the stats. Total defense. This is where the Michigan has an advantage because Indiana is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number 8 in the Big Ten, giving up 357.8 yards per game. 14 touchdowns, 4.8 yards per play. That definitely favors Michigan. And when you look at, I mean, even Michigan's offense isn't that great. Michigan's offense is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the Big Ten, but Indiana's defense, I'm not putting at the same level as, I think you guys know where I'm going with this. It's not a great offense, but at the same time, Indiana's defense isn't really anything special. And we've seen good teams like Penn State just gash Indiana through the air. I mean, couldn't get it on the ground, but Trace McSorley threw for like 313 yards against them. So, scoring offense, Indiana has number 5 ranked. 29.6 points per game. Again, hasn't faced the number 1 defense in the country. And so that's about it, guys. I think I covered the main guys. Oh, I did want to talk about Simi Cobbs. You guys remember Simi against Ohio State in the first half when everybody thought that people were Oh, Indiana's gonna upset Ohio State. Here we go. You know, let's, you know, everybody's cheering for the Hoosiers, and I mean, I knew it wasn't gonna happen. It was nice. It was a nice story, and it was great for Indiana to have that really good first half, and you have to appreciate him on that. And Simi had 11 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown. He is good though, and he's coming off 10 catches for 98 yards with a long of 23. So, 5 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown against Penn State. And since then, you know, other than Ohio State and Charleston Southern, he hasn't really done a whole hell of a lot. But and injury report real quick for Indiana: a bunch of guys banged up with undisclosed injuries. Nate Hoff, though, defensive lineman, he has a sack. I think he's like third or fourth on the team with one sack. So he, I think he's probable. And tight end Ian Thomas, probable for against for Saturday. And wide receiver Donovan Hale, I think, is probable too. And Donovan was actually held out of a game earlier in the year, I think, for rest. So I'm not sure what the injury is with Donovan Hale. So those are the main three guys. And Marcelino Ball, he's a defensive back. He's probable, I think. Yes, he's probable. So, and as far as Michigan, you guys know who's injured. So do I have to go through that or not? Tariq Black, not going to see Tariq. I doubt you see Wilton. So, oh, not an injury. Drake Harris is now a wide receiver. Back at wide receiver. So, all right, guys, the show has run its course at 46 minutes. I want to thank everybody for watching. And again, follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Search on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. You can listen on iTunes. You could get the also get the audio only version on Blog Talk Radio, FanRag Sports Channel, Blog Talk Radio, and Google Play. What else do I have to say? Preview piece tomorrow on FanRag Sports. So follow at FanRag_U, FanRagSports.com. And I want to thank Tim McKeith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor for sponsoring the show. 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. Next home game, guys. Wes Weber won it last time. He predicted Michigan State. Did not go over. I think, what was it, Wes? 13-12? You were like damn near pretty. You're right there. So Wes won his free half sandwich. You can too. Predict the score correctly or get as close as possible without going over and during home games, and I will hook you up with a free half chicken or half steak sandwich at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. So again, I'm Adam Biggers. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll catch you next time, which will be tomorrow morning.